Friends, my name is Kevin Key.
You know, it's hard to imagine that time passes so quickly. It seems like yesterday I was just a child and living in 1985. And then now here we are in 2013. Happy New Year to each and every one. I hope and pray that you enjoyed a beautiful New Year's Eve. And I hope and pray that your new year so far is going well. And we hope and pray that God will bestow blessings upon you much greater than what you have experienced in the past. As we think in regard to this new year, I want to challenge each and every one of us to allow God to work in our life this year to help us develop as a Christian more in line with who He calls us to be, but also to work together as the church to develop in such a way that will glorify our God in ways that we have not been able to accomplish maybe in the past. As we think in regard to our God and the things that He sets before us, good people, it is essential for you and me to understand that our God is the Creator of everything that is good. The existence of God is eternal. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14. When we think in regard to God existing in eternity, what is it that God is defining for us? Good people, God has always been in existence, and God will always exist. He is responsible for all things. In fact, whenever we think in regard to the existence of God, we realize that the evidence of our God is amazing. We have internal evidence that reveals God, and when we speak in regard to internal evidence, we're speaking about those things that are identified about God from the context of Scripture, but also we have external evidence that points to the fact that there is a God in heaven who exists, and a God in heaven that not only exists, a God who is constantly looking down upon His creation and actively involved. And when we think about external evidence, good people, we're identifying the ways in which God has revealed Himself through His creation. But also, the creation of God declares the glory of God. And the blessings that God bestows upon His people are innumerable. The ways in which God touches our lives, it's hard for us to imagine. The multiple blessings that God bestows upon us, it's so hard for us to count or even to comprehend, but the Bible declares unto us is that God is constantly working for the good in our life. But good people, also, when we think in regard to our God and the things that you and I face in this life, time has been established by God for mankind. Our God not only is eternal, but our God dwells in eternity, and our God functions in eternity. A day is as 1,000 years unto the Lord, and 1,000 years as a day. Well, what does that mean? It means that time is not important to God. God has created time for mankind, and our lives revolve around the time in which God has created for us. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning is when God gives us time. That is the beginning of time as we know it. And good people, our lives centers in and around the time that we have here. And God spells out for us very clearly through the Scripture that man's life upon the face of this earth is very brief. In fact, in Psalms 114 and verse 4, God describes our life. He says, man is like a breath. His days are like a passing shadow. In Psalms 90 and verse 10, He says, the days of our lives are 70 years, and if reasoned by strength, they are 80 years. What is it that God is communicating to you and me as humans dwelling here, but also as Christians? Good people, God is wanting us to understand that death is inevitable. That death is an appointment that each and every one of us will face. In fact, in the book of Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, the Hebrews writer exclaims, He says, as is appointed unto man once to live and then, or once to die, and then after this is the judgment. You and I will only live here in this world for a time, and then we will pass on. And if you are like me, the older I get, time seems to disappear so quickly. Time, There is a season for everything under the sun. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11. The years are carried away like a flood. Psalms 90 and verse 5. The older we get, the quicker time seems to go by. The older we get, we suffer from aches and pains, from memory losses, from multiple other situations that fall upon us in life. And God identifies for us is that we need to understand concerning the brevity of life. James chapter 4 and verse 14, whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. What is it that God wants you and me to understand whenever we consider the context of our lesson thus far? Good people, God wants you and me to understand that we need to take life very serious. We need to understand why we are here. Why has God placed us here in this world? According to the book of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, we have been created for God's good pleasure and for His good works. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14, he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, for the whole duty or the whole purpose of man is to fear God and keep His commandments. And therefore, good people, God wants you and me to value our life, but also to redeem the time or the opportunity that God lays before us. You say, Kevin, what are you trying to say? God wants you and me to constantly be actively involved in pursuing Him, in doing what it is that He commands us to do in order to please Him here so that we will stand ready to stand before Him in the final judgment. How will you and I be able to perfect our lives better as we head into this new year? Good people, I believe first and foremost we need to understand the essentiality of conducting our lives according to godliness. Satan is alive and well, and Satan is constantly offering many evil opportunities before us. And the way in which Satan works, we find in Genesis chapter 3, the way that he worked with Eve and Adam in the garden. Also from the book of Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 10, the way that he worked with our Lord and Savior. He wants to captivate our attention, and then whenever he gets our attention, good people, from that point, he persuades our thoughts. He tries to tell us that everyone else is doing things that is ungodly, and therefore, if we want to fit into society, then we need to participate also. He also tries to tell us that it's not as bad as what it seems, and therefore, he works constantly upon our minds to entice us, and he invites us to cave in to his temptations. And as I stand before you this morning, I tell you that sometimes you and I are easily persuaded to go in the direction that Satan is seeking to guide us in, away from God. What the Bible reveals unto us is that God is constantly there. God is aware of what it is that Satan is seeking to do and what he's able to do unto us. And God is always there then to provide a way of escape. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. We understand that this way of escape comes by the way in which God speaks unto us through the gospel message. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14, we're called into God through the gospel. And as we consider the calling that God calls us with through Jesus Christ our Lord, God then, in like figure, commands us. What is it that God commands us to do? God commands you and me to turn away from the ways of this world, to turn away from living a life that is saturated with sin, to turn away from an ungodly conduct. But rather, in all of that then, as we turn away, God defines that as repentance. And as we turn away from this sin, then we are turning to God in obedience. And yet God challenges us. God challenges us then, whenever we obey Him, to follow Him, to continually seek the Lord. And in seeking what it is that God has for us, then that we must live our lives according to godliness, and to put away the evil allurements of the world. How will you and I be able to be successful this year and beyond this year in living our lives according to godliness? Good people, if we will concentrate upon New Testament principles. Well, what does it mean to concentrate upon New Testament principles? The Bible reveals unto us is that the Scripture is God-breathed. The Scripture is God's inspired message unto mankind. The Bible is how God has communicated and how God continues to communicate unto us. And for that reason, you and I need to do what we can each day, every opportunity that we have throughout the course of each day, to study God's Word. Well, what does it mean to study God's Word? Good people, in the book of Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, as God's people, Israel, was given message through the Old Testament prophets, and as this message then was conveyed unto each household by the fathers, the children of Israel were commanded to meditate in the law of the Lord, both day and night. Well, what does he mean to meditate? It meant that they were to study it. It meant that they were to examine what it was that their fathers were telling them concerning the direction that God wanted them to go. And then not only in examining these things, they were to pursue the way of the Lord. I love the way that it's stated in Psalms 1 and verse 2. He says, David says concerning himself, delight in the law of the Lord. What does it mean to delight in the law of the Lord? Good people, I believe that that means that David loved the law of God. And you and I, as Christians, those who want to follow God and to please God, we must love our God's Word. And if we love God's Word, we're going to spend the time that is necessary in order for us to understand, to consume His Word. But not only should we love the Word, you and I must honor and respect God's Word. It's so interesting and very sad. And good people, it troubles me where these people will stand in the day of judgment. Of those individuals who look to God's Word and they have no honor or no respect for the things that He has said. Why do I say that? Because as they read them, they do not confer with them. They do not apply them to their everyday walk of life. But also, when we think in regard to the religious world, the majority of the religious world looks to the things that God has given and they are not following them. Instead, they create for themselves doctrines and creeds of mankind. You and I, if we truly delight in the law of the Lord, we will love the Word and we will honor and respect it as it is given. You say, Kevin, what are you trying to say? I love the way that the Scripture provides it. God says is that we need to do what it is that God commands of us. And whenever we do, we have a relationship with the God of peace with whom we shall spend eternity. Isn't that beautiful? To know that if you and I concentrate, if you and I meditate, if you and I delight in the law of the Lord and do those things that He commands of us, then we have a relationship with God and He is described as a God of peace in our lives. How will we be able to accomplish maintaining our relationship with God? Good people, if we will connect ourselves unto the kingdom of God. The kingdom and the church are synonymous. They're one and the same. As you look at the kingdom that our God sought to establish, as was presented by the prophets of old, as you look into the New Testament Scripture, you will find the word kingdom and church used interchangeably. And as they are used, God identifies that He was establishing a kingdom through the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Good people, the church is important to our God, so much so that Jesus Christ had to die at Calvary's cross in order for it to be established. The church is important to God, and the church plays a very vital role in terms of our salvation. Somebody will say, now wait a second, Kevin. I thought that we are saved through Christ, through the blood of Christ. We are, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. Without the blood of Christ, good people, you and I would be in our sins. Unless Jesus Christ died at Calvary's cross, there's no way in the world that we could have a means of forgiveness. But yet at the same time, whenever Jesus Christ died and established His church, He works through the church in order to bring salvation. You and I have the responsibility of upholding our God's message, of proclaiming the salvation that is in Jesus Christ, of telling and teaching people about the Word of God. And we realize after we proclaim God's Word is that
within the hearts of sincere people is that faith will indeed be developed. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. And whenever people are obedient unto Christ, whenever they put Christ on in baptism, the Bible tells us in the book of Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. People are added unto the church whenever they come in contact with the blood of Christ. And for that reason, the church plays a very vital role in our salvation. And the church is a family. We are the family of God. I said, as we began with the lesson this morning, we were grateful to you to be able to go back to Indiana, even over to Illinois, and to spend time with our family. What a blessing that was, but I'm going to tell you, we missed you very much. Over the 3.5 years that we have had here at East End, you have very quickly become the love of our life. You are embedded into our thoughts and into our hearts. And the times that we are away from you, we just can't wait to get back and to be with the church family. We are committed and connected with you in so many ways. And I hope and pray that you feel the same with us and with one another. We must be connected to the kingdom in order for us to maintain our relationship with God. We can't have Christ and divorce ourselves from the church. They go hand in hand. And good people, we need to do all that we can to make all of the connections that we can in the church. Why? Because in part, it is a way in which we display our love for God. It certainly is a way in which we convey our love towards one another. And unless we can connect with the church, we're going to find ourselves slipping away from the body of Christ. And whenever we slip away from the body of Christ, hence we also drift away from our God. We need to be connected into the church for our soul salvation. Why? Because the church is the kingdom of God. The church belongs to God and it is the family of God. But we need to be connected to the church also because of the work of the church. There are so many things that our God spells out for us in the New Testament Scripture that we have a responsibility to do as the church. Individually, we have responsibilities, but collectively, God lays before us works, opportunities that He expects us to do. And in order for you and me to be successful this year and beyond this year in accomplishing the things that will glorify God, we need every member to be connected as you can be, and also to be committed to God no matter what. There will be challenges in life. Isaiah 41 and verse 10, he says, "Fear not, I am with you." Psalms 46 and verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God." Whenever I read these words from the psalmist in Psalms 96 and verse 10, I think concerning the children of Israel. Do you remember whenever they left Egypt and they came into the Red Sea and they looked back and they saw the Egyptian Pharaoh and the Egyptians coming after them, and they turned to Moses and unto Aaron and they said, "Why is it that you've led us out here? Were there not graves meant for us back in Egypt?" They thought that they were going to die. And what is it that Moses said to them? "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." There will be challenges come our way this year. There were last year. And our hearts grieve over those challenges. But you know, God saw us through them, didn't He? And no matter what it is that we face this year and beyond, God is going to see us through it as a congregation. And also individually, as we think in regard to the loss of loved ones, when we think about poor health and multiple things that hit us, God says, "Hang in there. Keep on keeping on. Don't allow your faith to dwindle away, but rather allow yourself to have a persevering faith, a faith that continues to grow whenever you're faced with the challenges of life." He says, "Keep on keeping on, no matter what it is that you face in life." And God says, no matter what, conclude your life well. Well, what do you say? You say, "Kevin, what do you mean?" And my final words today, I want us to understand that if you're not in the race, if you're not a New Testament Christian, enter the race today. Why? Why today should I become a Christian? Because we're not guaranteed tomorrow. James chapter 4 and verse 14, a passage we alluded to a while ago. Whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. If you are not a Christian, become a Christian today. If you are a Christian, if you have confessed Christ to be the Son of the living God and submitted yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, and you've been raised then from that watery grave of baptism to walk in newness of life, I tell you, run the race. Run as hard as you can. Run without looking back, without looking to the side. Keep your focus upon our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and finish the course that our God has set before you. How can we do what God commands us to do? Move on from the past. Learn to live in the present. And trust in God to lead your future.